Hello. Welcome to Double Indemnity, the podcast, Sick Edition. Jonathan and I both currently have the flu, if you couldn't tell by just looking at our faces or hearing my voice right now. I'm a little congested, or just a little. But we have our tissues and we have our glasses of water, and hopefully we'll survive. But I'm excited. I think, yeah.
I think we'll make it.
I hope that it lifts our spirits and gets us through the rest of this illness because currently we've been out of work all week. Because we were so sick, and Jonathan went to work today on Friday. And what happened, Jonathan?
Yeah, not much happened at all. No.
Other than the fact that he came home with a fever again. So, congratulations, Jonathan. You did not get rid of the flu. And he got the flu. He started getting sick last Saturday, and it's Friday. So, he has been infected with the flu for almost a
Almost.
whole week. You've been sick. And then he gave it to me, which is so sweet. You
It's
know,
the least I could
true love.
It's the least I could do.
I know. You're
Yeah.
so generous. He's so generous.
I know I am.
Thank you. All right, back to the podcast. So, first, just a few things I want to talk about before we get into it is you guys can actually watch our podcast on YouTube if you want. Double Indemnity, the podcast. We do video it. Obviously, if you're watching the video right now, you already know that. So, thanks for joining us. But you can also find us on any of your podcast platforms. And we also, thanks to Jonathan's really smart idea, we have a Letterboxd now. So Letterboxd, if you've never heard of it, it's an app that you can track your movies that you watch, you can create a diary of all of them, and you can leave reviews and leave stars, and other people can comment on the movies that you've watched and the things you said about it. So we decided that we're going to start posting the upcoming podcast movie topic every week on Monday. So say this past Monday, we posted the movie that we're going to be reviewing today. And then people can hopefully, if they want to, go on there, see what the movie is, potentially leave comments or ideas or things or concepts that they came up with that we're not probably smart enough to come up with ourselves. So, So, yes, definitely check out our Letterboxd if you would like to maybe give insights and things that we could talk about on the podcast because we would love that. So, those are my just little quick updates. But now we're basically going to get into the gist of the podcast where we pretend to have serious conversations about movies. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Yes, are you?
All right, intro the movie of the week.
So the movie we're discussing today is Triangle of Sadness. It's the another first English language film for director Ruben Östlund. Synopsis, per IMDb: a cruise for the super rich sinks, leaving survivors, including a fashion model celebrity couple, trapped on an island. I had first heard about this movie because it won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival, and the director's previous movie also won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival. He's made movies there for a good amount of years, for at least like 10 or so years.
What is the Palme d'Or? Did I even say it right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I can just hold it because then I can steal it whenever I want to say something.
Palme d'Or is like the highest award you can get at the Cannes Film Festival.
Is that like a really popular film festival?
It's the
I'm
most
honestly asking because I don't know. Like, I straight don't know anything about any of this movie stuff.
prestigious film festival, yeah, like worldwide.
Really? Prestige. Okay.
And we got to see this at a really cool theater,
Yeah.
which was a great experience actually.
Yeah.
And they offered us barf bags at the front.
I totally forgot they did. They gave us barf bags. So I wonder if they did that because people have been barfing. Like, is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that motion sick, and I'm notorious for getting motion sick whenever we watch like my family home videos because I'm just like nausea is my thing, you know? Like, if I can get it, I will, and I will throw up. So I just like was really surprised I didn't get sick from it. But I did take a barf bag just in case. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, I was surprised I didn't get sick either. Sometimes, like throwing up scenes in movies can get to me.
Yeah, it's disgusting watching other people throw up. There
Yeah.
were some really nasty parts. Also, I forgot to say there's lots of spoilers in this. We'll get
Yes.
better at introing this one
Yeah.
day.
One day.
One day.
But anyway, it stars. It's got a pretty big cast. Not many super well-known actors. Harris Dickinson, Woody Harrelson, Charlie Dean, who unfortunately passed away a couple months after finishing the film of the movie.
That was really sad. That was really upsetting. But she was a fantastic actor. Like, she did amazing in the movie.
Yeah, she was really good. Dolly D. Leon, who plays Abigail.
The evil doll.
The evil doll?
You know the horror movies, like Abigail? Is it Annabelle? Oh! I thought you were talking about the evil doll. Okay, yeah, Abigail. Abigail was like the woman who worked on the boat and like was a service worker, right? Yes, and then there was that whole switch, which we'll talk about later.
Yes, later.
Foreshadowing.
Like, overall, what did you think about the movie?
Overall, my review? Is that where we're at right now? Review time?
Sure.
Okay. So, I thought this movie was fantastic. Like, I would give it 4.5 stars out of 5. I thought it was really good. I thought it was well made. First off, I love how you read the synopsis, and within like the 2-sentence synopsis, it says that they're going to be stranded on an island. But when we were watching the movie, I literally did not see that coming. Like, when they ended up on the island, I was like, oh my God. Like, I thought it was just going to end with all this crazy stuff on the boat. Like, I was so surprised. So I thought that was super interesting.
Yeah, I really like, I'd seen that in like the trailer, that they were stuck on the island, but it was only until like more than halfway through the film where they got stuck.
Yeah, I mean, that movie was really freaking long. It was really long. I'm surprised I didn't have to take a bathroom break. I was just so into it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what's your review then?
I think I'd give it 4 stars. Pretty good 4 stars.
Really? I rated it higher than you. I thought you thought it was fantastic.
Well, at first I rated it 4.5, but then I lowered it to 4.
Why did you lower it?
I was just thinking about it more, and then I just thought a lot of the runtime could have been cut down.
What do you mean by runtime? Just like wasted time?
Just like the runtime of the movie. I don't think they needed everything that was in the movie. Definitely thought Woody Harrelson would have a bigger role in the movie, but he was probably in the movie for 30, 25 minutes maybe. Yeah, the whole movie was just pretty much just rich people just interacting together and talking about how rich they are and government policies. And it was actually very entertaining.
So, wait, why did you cut off that 0.5 star?
I don't know. I was just thinking on it more, and
it's not a good enough reason, but whatever. We'll go with it. Okay, so I want to talk about my things from the movie that I noted and wanted to discuss that I thought were weird or interesting. So, first off, I hate chapter movies. I hate movies where they write it in chapters. Like, they take a little black screen and they write, like, chapter 2, blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I hate chapter movies. I don't like it. I don't think it does anything for the movie. I don't know. That's my opinion.
That's fair. I get that.
Do you not have any opinions on that?
I think I like it sometimes. I think it can definitely be overdone, especially with like fantasy movies. But I liked it here because the first part was about
the young couple, yeah.
The models and like the interactions at dinner and if she was going to pick up the bill or not, which I just thought that dialogue was just like fantastic.
It was fantastic, but it was also like, that was actually something I wanted to talk about, was like, what was the entire, like, what was the point of the first chunk where they showed the young couple? Because it's not very consistent with the fact that they're going to show just that couple. But then there was a bunch of other, like, main characters on the boat that they don't give you any background for. Like, I didn't understand what was so special about them that you needed to have background information on them. I mean, I thought it was really interesting. Like, it gave a lot of insight into their relationship and into their storyline. And, like, it made you view what happened to them later differently. But I thought it was a weird choice that they only did it for the young couple. I don't know. I thought it was kind of weird.
I can kind of see why you think that. I'm not sure it was intentional to only have, like, background around about them. I just think it was background for those characters. And it didn't really bother me.
It didn't bother you? I thought it was weird. I thought it made the movie inconsistent. I don't know. I did.
I get that.
Okay, well, he's not feeling very debatable tonight. So my points must be genius. Okay, let's see. Yeah, I thought that backstory was weird. And also, like, their relationship was so unusual. Like, if a guy ever treated me like that, or even a girl, like, I would be like, I don't want to be friends with you. Like, I didn't understand why they treated each other like that. Like, was it just because they were so rich and, like, out of touch with normal society? Like, all of their dialogue was so awkward. Like, I didn't understand it. Their whole relationship was just so forced.
Yeah, I get that. I think from her side, it was just, oh, like, I need more followers on my Instagram. And that's, like, the most important thing for me, not, like, actually a relationship with somebody.
Yeah, like, she didn't even care. And I don't understand why was she so, like, harsh about taking the bill. I don't know. I thought that was so stupid. Like, that really bothered me. That made me not like her character at first. Just because I was like, what the heck is wrong with you? But I guess that's the point. You're supposed to be frustrated with them. I don't know. I thought their relationship was so weird. And I guess it does get weirder throughout the movie.
Yeah, it definitely gets weirder throughout the movie.
I thought all of the family's relationships were interesting, though. Like, they were all, like, they didn't really like each other. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, the entire, like, Russian family, just, like, they were all, I don't know, there's just something weird about them. I thought that they just, like, didn't mesh. I don't know. And she kept speaking French, which I didn't understand.
Who?
The Russian mom. The guy who was a communist, his wife kept speaking French.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe.
Yeah, I thought it was weird.
From like a different region of Russia?
French Russia.
French Russia.
French Russia. You know a lot about geography. Russian. Hello, that's funny. I don't know. Yeah, and first off, like, what was the point of the communism metaphor? Like, I did not get it. Honestly, didn't even think it was that funny. Okay, it was really funny when he went on the intercom and he was like, the boat is going down. It's sinking. I thought that was really funny.
I love the whole, like, communist versus capitalist jokes.
Why?
They were so funny.
I didn't. Okay, I feel like a lot of the plot, like, when they were on the boat was just, like, random. Like, they just were random stuff.
It was very random, and I think that was the point.
Yeah.
Because after everybody gets food poisoning from, like, being from the food that was left out, it just all goes to, like, chaos.
Oh, so it's just a part of, like, creating the chaos. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. Yeah. And then I think it was just a lot of funny quotes that...
Did you want to talk about some of the funny quotes? Is that where you were pulling them up earlier?
Yes.
Let's see them.
Growth for the sake of growth is the ideology of a cancer cell.
Let's just have a moment and focus on these. That is a genius quote, actually. I thought that one was great.
Like, I think they're quoting other people. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was the whole point, is they were, like, having, like, a contest. Like, you know how men do that weird manly contest thing, you know? Where I'm manlier than you. I could name more quotes than you. They had such a weird relationship. And Why was the captain so, like, messed up? I don't know. I thought it was weird.
Yeah, he was an alcoholic for sure. Never argue with an idiot. They'll only bring you down to their level and beat you with experience.
And beat you with experience. I love how that's a Mark Twain quote, too. Are those, like, real quotes?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That's cool.
The last capitalist we hang will be the one who sold us the rope.
That was smart. Okay, these are, like, really well thought out quotes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're bad. Like, they're... depressing.
The Russian guy says, oh, shit. A Russian capitalist and an American communist.
Yeah, that's what they were. That's what they were. Yeah, there were some good quotes in that scene when after the food poisoning. It was really hard to watch, but I thought it was genius. Like, I wonder how they shot that. Because usually when they do, like, I know, like, when a room is flipping and going upside down, they'll normally just, like, the camera will move and the room won't move.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting how they did that.
Yeah. I would like to see, like, the behind the scenes of how they got those.
Yeah, like, even just the scenes where the curtains would, like, move or the bottles would roll, you know? Like, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well done, director and scene setter-uppers. Well done.
DOP.
DOP, what does that mean?
Director of photography.
Oh, potato, potato. What does that person do?
Cinematographer. So they...
The DOP. It sounds like the NYPD.
So, like, they're, like, in charge of, like, all, like, the camera functions. And then they got, like, everybody helping them, like, the key grip and all those people.
It's pretty cool. Moving on. Yeah, the communism metaphor. But the humor was on point. Like, I thought it was a hilarious movie. The writers were very smart. Well done to them. Well done. Let's see. What else do I want to talk about? Oh my God. The symbolism of him sleeping with the old lady. I feel like that said a lot about his relationship with Yaya.
The young man
sleeping with Abigail.
Yeah.
She wasn't Hispanic. She was Polynesian, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I think I am right. But if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. and correct me. I'm not trying to
I'm
not trying to insult her. She was a fantastic actress. She was perfect for that role. I thought it was really cool. And I have some really cool fun facts about her role coming up later. So I got excited. But yeah, so let's talk about symbolisms and metaphors because I thought this was interesting. So like I thought it was so weird that when he was in the normal civilization, all that he wanted was the validation of what the powerful woman, you know, like the it girl. And that was Yaya, right? Mm-hmm. But then when he ends up on the island, he turns into this weird situation where he just cares about being loved and being in a relationship with the powerful woman, like the matriarch, and that was Abigail. And it was so weird when he got to the point where at first he thought she was like basically using him for sex. And then it gets to a point where he's like, well, I want to be public about our relationship. Like, I want to tell people about our relationship. And I was like, this is so interesting. Like, he really wants to come public with it when he's still technically in a relationship with Yaya. Like, I don't know. I thought that was an interesting symbolism about who his character was and what he was striving for. It wasn't really about having a good relationship. He just had some weird thing about needing the validation of, like, whoever would give it to him that was in a powerful, like, matriarch position. So, I don't know. I thought it was interesting. Do you have any thoughts on that? Did you notice anything weird about it?
Just noticed, like, how, like, that had changed when they switched environments. Like, he had gone from, like, this model to this technically, like, worker servant on the cruise ship.
Who was also a lot older than him, too. Yes. Like, she was completely different generation.
Considerably older.
Yeah, I thought it was a very interesting plot line. And I like it when movies give you something that you're like, why did they do that? Like, there's some interesting metaphor behind it. Because sometimes movies take it a little far and it's like, why would you do that? But this was just like, why would they do that? Like, that's really an interesting thing for them to do in the writer's room. So I thought that was a cool symbolism, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And I also thought it was interesting. I mean, this was like the basic preface of the movie, and you would probably mention it too, is the switching of what held power. And before it was money, and then it became survival skills, which was super cool. I thought it was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, like you see the Hispanic, you see Abigail.
She's like not Hispanic. Just call her Abigail.
I know. Abigail, like go fishing in the ocean and like catch a fish like immediately. And everybody's like, okay, like she's in charge now. Like,
yeah, they just gave it to her because they were weak people. It was very unusual. Like they just wanted the food. They're like, we'll do whatever you want for you to give us food or I'll give you a bunch of money. And obviously she's not going to take the money. The money doesn't mean anything to her.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Cause at that point it's just negligible.
It's useless. You can't do anything with it if you die on an island, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was interesting symbolism. Yeah. Okay. And now let's talk about the ending. Woo! That one was a surprise. I did not see that coming. Like her with Yaya making it to the other side of the island. Now, I will say, and you can vouch for me, I totally knew that there was going to be a resort on the other side of the island. Like, I said it in the theater. I was like, I bet you there's a resort on the other side of the island, and they're just being stupid and not, like, investigating it or anything. And they walked to the other side of the island, and lo and behold, there was a resort on the other side of the island. So I just want to put that out there in the universe that I am a genius, okay?
No comment.
Oh, no comment? Disrespectful. To the matriarch of the family.
The matriarch.
Beans is the matriarch.
We all know Beans is the matriarch.
Yeah, Beans is the matriarch. But yeah, I thought it was super interesting when they made it to the other side. And the fact that Yaya, like, she felt bad. She didn't want to kill Yaya. But then when she was like, well, you can come and be my assistant and you can serve me because I'm still better than you. Like, that was badass. And then she killed her. And I wonder, like, it makes you wonder, you know, what happened moving forward with them? Like, where does the storyline go? Do they all just die on the island and keep doing what they're doing?
Yeah, I don't know. Because you saw, like, the final shot was Carl, like, running through the woods, probably because he discovered that Yaya was dead.
But what if he made it to the other side of the island on his excursion of anger?
That's true, but he also would have had to go to the other side of the island to see the body in the first place.
True, he would have found Yaya.
Yeah.
But I thought she just would have told him. I mean, I think he would have been upset just by being told, Yaya's dead. Like, Yaya fell off a cliff or something, and she's gone now.
Or Abigail was chasing him too. Either way.
Oh, I guess that's so true. You don't know why he was running. I just assumed he was upset that Yaya died, but he could have been running from Abigail.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he was in love with Abigail, apparently. Whatever he considered love.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever that was.
Yeah, that was an interesting relationship, but yeah, I thought that was super cool. Oh my gosh. Also, do you have any metaphors or symbolisms you want to talk about? Because I'm about to go into a little rant.
Go for it.
Okay. I thought this was super interesting symbolism, and maybe I'm remembering something wrong, but wasn't Yaya gluten intolerant, and that's why she didn't eat the pasta on the boat when she was taking selfies that one day?
When did they say she was gluten
Because
intolerant?
they were sitting at the table taking pictures of her with the pasta, and then the Russian guy was like, "Are you going to eat the food?" And she was like, "I'm gluten intolerant."
Oh, that makes
Yeah.
sense.
Do you remember that? But then, plot twist, everybody get ready for this. She was downing pretzels like there was no tomorrow. Those have gluten in them.
They do have gluten.
They do have gluten. It has been verified by Jonathan Pyle. There are gluten. There are. There is gluten in pretzels.
There are
There are
glutens.
one gluten. The gluten is in pretzels.
That's a topic for another
Yeah,
time.
that might just need to be its own podcast and its own.
I might just need to dwell on that a little more just by
Yeah. Do
myself.
you need a moment of silence?
I'm good.
Okay. He'll take note and he'll ponder on gluten later. But that was my super interesting fact. As to, she really wasn't gluten intolerant. She was just probably struggling with not eating because she wanted to stay skinny. And so, I don't know. I thought it was interesting how her priorities totally changed. You know, she was like, she went from not eating because she valued her body and what it looked like. She didn't value her body as in health-wise, but she valued what it looked like. And then she went to devouring food whenever she could get it because she valued like surviving. Like it was an interesting topic of like how her values switched and how things changed. Yeah.
That's a great point. Yeah, I never even noticed that what you had said.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Well,
good.
were there other things that you want to talk about? Because I mean, there's a lot in the movie, a lot of symbolism and metaphors.
Yeah, the whole when the film switches gears and you see like pirates on board like the ship, or not on board, but you see like the boat going towards the cruise ship, and then the two British characters who were named, I want to say like Winston and Clementine,
Yeah.
which was actually named after Winston Churchill and his
Were you
wife.
looking up trivia? I told you not to look up trivia.
Did you have to
That's
look
one
up
of the
trivia?
trivia questions. I told you not to look. He was looking at the fun facts. He's not allowed to look at the fun facts. You looked at the fun facts. Jonathan, you are the worst. I can't believe it. He totally ruined the podcast. You ruined the podcast.
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, moving on. What does it matter?
Anyway,
Anyways.
when they go, a grenade is thrown right in front of them, and they go, "Hey, I think this is one of ours."
Yeah, I thought that was so funny. I'm like, why were they not concerned about the fact that there was a grenade thrown in front of them? That was
That was
so
so
funny.
funny. It was so ironic.
Yeah, literally.
Perfect comedic timing there.
Yeah. It was really good. The comedy was fantastic. I actually totally forgot about the pirates. And I love how it went from like the pirates being enemies of them and sinking their ship and killing everybody on the boat except for like a couple people to like their best friend. And the pirate was like my favorite character on the island. He was so funny. Like the whistle scene.
Yes.
Yeah, the whistle scene was so funny.
And then when they're killing the donkey in the jungle,
Yes.
yes, that was funny.
That was so funny. And then it was that you talked about this before, the full circle of them killing the donkey with a rock. It's the same way that Abigail killed Yaya.
Yeah, that's a
Yeah.
great point.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Like they were killing, trying to kill a donkey for survival, and for them, survival was killing a donkey for food, and for Yaya, it was killing someone who was threatening her newfound way of life. Well, do you want to do some trivia questions?
Trivia.
Trivia, trivia questions. I'm sorry, my singing voice is a little nasty right now, and if anybody's actually listening to this at this point, my voice is awful, and I'm so sorry. I sound so nasally right now. I'm gonna hate having to listen back to this later, but consistency, important.
It's
Okay,
key.
so let's see how many of these Jonathan cheated and already knew the answers too. So, potato, potato. Also, did you pick out what movie you wanted to do next week?
Not yet, but we can decide that.
Oh, yeah. No. Jonathan, you're supposed to come to the podcast actually ready for the podcast. I noticed you had no notes.
I am ready for the podcast.
Jonathan had no notes. Do you know how he was preparing for the podcast? He scrolled through IMDb. I watched him just now. He was searching for the quotes he wanted to talk about. You know what I did? I wrote up all the trivia questions that I'm going to ask you, which you're probably reading off my computer and cheating right now because you have no integrity. Do you have anything to say for yourself?
Beans be crazy.
Beans be crazy. Beans is our dog, by the way. We've mentioned her a few times, so we never said that she was our dog. We just said that Beans is the matriarch as if, like, some legumes are controlling her life.
Legumes.
Legumes. Okay, let's get into the trivia. So today I have prepared 8 questions for you, which will sum out to 7 because Jonathan already knew the one about Winston Churchill and Clementine. So, whatever. I wonder why they did that. Moving on. How long has Woody Harrelson been vegan? First off, did you know he was vegan?
I did.
How long has he been vegan?
15 years.
Over 30 years. Isn't that cool? That's so cool. I'm vegetarian and I've only been vegetarian for 6 years. And 30 years, being vegan especially, you have to have such good like cooking skills and health skills to be vegan for that long and be healthy. So he's super into all that health stuff. So kudos to you, Woody Harrelson. Anything to say? Jonathan is a strong meat eater. His diet consists of cheese, meat, and carbs. So do you think you'll ever go vegan? I'm doing a public poll.
You'd have to kill me.
But then you couldn't be vegan. You'd be dead.
Exactly.
Oh, I see. I see. I see. Well, that's disappointing. Moving on. Question number 2. So you got it wrong. How many days did they have to shoot on the yacht?
7.
9. That's good. I honestly thought that you were going to get it like wrong and say like 30. Because I didn't realize you could film a movie that fast. I mean, the majority of the movie is shot on the boat. And it's done in 9 days. Like, they were probably shooting day and night. Like, I have a lot of respect for actors and how they can shoot and film for that long. I thought it was crazy.
Yeah, it's a short amount of time.
Yeah, 9 days. And it must have been expensive because that was not a cheap yacht. Mm-mm. All right. Well, you got that one wrong, too. He is not doing very good. You would have gotten the Clementine and Winston Churchill one right, though, if you hadn't spoiled it for yourself. So just so you know, you screwed yourself over.
Okay. Well, also, if you had asked that and I had already known, then you would have been like, how did you know that already? There's no way.
True. I would have been mad at him if he already knew it. I guess it's right. You can only win. Okay. You can win 2 ways. Either you win the game or you win my trust. What is more important to you?
The game.
The Game of Thrones. Okay. Here's one. What 2 locations did they film the movie?
Other than the cruise?
Other than a yacht, yes.
Let me think about this one.
He's thinking.
The island jungle scenes, somewhere in the Mediterranean, and...
We have to pick a country. A country in the Mediterranean, apparently.
Cyprus.
Okay, Cyprus is one of your guesses. One more guess.
Germany.
Interesting. You're wrong. They filmed it in Greece and Sweden. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Greece and Sweden. I was surprised by that. I would have not guessed that at all. Okay. So we're going to skip question number 4 for reasons unmentioned. Name 3 of the 7 languages spoke in the film. So there's 7 total. You only have to name 3.
The German one, the Interwalken. The German lady could only...
So there's German.
Say the 3 words, Enderwalken.
Oh, yeah. In the clouds, right?
In the clouds.
Your German accent is fantastic, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Are you German descent?
No.
What descent are you? White?
White. Russian.
You're Russian?
Part Russian and part Polish.
Whose side is Russian?
No clue.
That's so cool. I didn't know that. And Polish? That's awesome. I did not know that. I thought you were Scandinavian like me.
And
like the rest of white people, we're all Scandinavian. But I guess there's some Russian and Polish people too.
1/13th Russian or something.
That's so cool. Something I didn't know about you.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Look at us learning something every day. Okay. So German. 2 other languages.
English.
Yeah.
Russian.
No, they didn't speak Russian. I have all of the languages.
What?
Yeah, they didn't.
It's Swedish.
Yes, they did. Yeah. So all of the seven languages spoken in the movie were English, Swedish, French, Greek, German, Croatian, which I've never heard of, and Tagalog, which I think was the language that all the crew members were speaking, which was cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they must have been Polynesian. Yeah,
what right. Where's Tagalog language from? Do you know?
No idea, but it sounds Polynesian.
Sounds Polynesian.
Might as well assume.
We should have done better research on that, but it sounds like a cool language. I never heard of it before. So I love languages. I think it's so interesting. So moving on. Question number six. Also, just an update. Jonathan's got no questions right yet. What does the director Ruben Östlund think of rich people?
He thinks they're spoiled.
No. Are you ready for this? I thought this was so interesting. So I'm going to read you something that I read about his opinions on rich people. I don't know if I'm quoting him. If I am, cool. If not, don't hold me accountable. So Ruben doesn't believe in the monstrosity of rich people. On the contrary, he thinks that they usually have a lot of social intelligence or else they wouldn't have made it this far. For instance, the worst persons featured in the movie, the old English couple who are actually weapon manufacturers, are at the same time the nicest characters. He feels that they are always nice people and they just happen to make a fortune in this business. Which I don't know if I totally agree with, because some obviously people who work hard and they like really grind on their careers and they make it successful, like, yeah, I think that's a valid argument for, but what about people who are just born into it? Like, what about their kids? Can you say the same for them? And nothing against their kids. Like, you're born into it. You can't choose where you're born. But does that argument hold up for that?
Yeah, maybe not. That's a little question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that surprising, though?
That's really interesting that he said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, like, what about the movie was he so intrigued by? You know, if it doesn't hold true to, like, his personal values. So
yeah, that's interesting. I think this is definitely also like his most, like, this is kind of a random side note, but his most like accessible film that he's made. Also like the first English language one.
What else accessible do you mean other than being like the first English language?
So I think that makes it a lot more accessible to a wider audience by proxy.
Yeah.
Like his other movie, The Square.
I've never heard of The Square. What is that about? Have you seen it?
No. I actually started it one time a couple years ago. And then he directed another movie called Force Majeure, which was remade into an American comedy with Will Ferrell.
Oh. What's the American one called?
Downhill, I think.
Wasn't that the one where his family is at a ski slope? That's not a comedy.
Well, I thought it was a comedy.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I think, I might be wrong, but I remember my parents saw it and they were surprised to see him in a serious role.
Oh, gotcha. Gotta love American cinema remaking everything that foreign language does.
Like, oh gosh, I feel bad. I don't know the name of it, but the movie where Kevin Hart's in it, and he is working as a nurse for the guy in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. Do you remember what the French movie was called? Because I know it came from a very popular French movie.
The Untouchables.
Yeah, all that matters is the original one, because us Americans just copy everything. But I remember The Untouchables was really, really well-renowned.
Intouchable.
Intouchable. What does that mean?
No idea.
Well, I heard it was a great movie. That's so true, though. We just remake things or just keep copying, pasting. Like, that's my rant with the Avengers movies. Like, you know what? Everybody deserves a guilty pleasure. And I think the Avengers movies is that for a lot of people. And it's enjoyable. It's easy to watch. And you always know what's going to happen at the end, obviously. I mean, even when they said, I think it was what, Endgame, when they were going to supposedly kill off half the characters, they didn't. Like, that was that was redonkachonk. I thought that was ridiculous, and I was really disappointed. I mean, also, I didn't watch that movie or, like, any other Avengers movie, but, man, like, the plot armor, you know? Jonathan always talks about plot armor and how it makes him so mad. Do you want to explain what plot armor is to anybody who's like me and didn't know what it was until Jonathan said it every time we watched a movie?
I.e. the final season of Game of Thrones.
That's all you got to say.
That's all I
got to
say.
We're currently watching Game of Thrones because I'm really behind on everything pop culture. I usually get on the trends after they're not trendy anymore. Like, this is me with everything in life. Everything. I'm not kidding. So I'm currently on the Game of Thrones trend, super obsessed. But we're about to watch the last episode. And we've been just like not. We've just been waiting because I'm really sad for it to end. But I don't think the last season was as bad as everybody else says it is. I think that, okay, this is not a Game of Thrones episode. And if you're going to watch Game of Thrones, I'm sorry if I'm spoiling it for you. But I think it was genius what they did with Daenerys and having her kill everybody, because it's the last thing you would have expected. Like, that's the whole point of Game of Thrones. Like, plot armor would have been her making the city all happy and pretty. But this huge plot twist after 6 seasons of building her up, I thought it was genius. Instead, all of you Game of Throners were looking for a specific ending, and isn't that the whole point? I mean, that's how they hooked you on the series originally, by killing Ned Stark, when you didn't see that coming.
If they had like a triggering event that caused her to just like lose control.
I think it was like her built up anger and frustration, and she finally gets there. You know what I mean? I don't know. We'll move on because this is not a Game of Thrones episode, but we've been debating about this recently now that we're watching the last season of the show. Scooch closer. Okay. So this was so interesting to me, this next one. Number 7, Jonathan still hasn't gotten any questions right. I must be really good at writing trivia. You'd be terrible on Jeopardy. All right. Question number 7. Which actor was actually a Royal Marine cadet and would have known how to survive on a stranded island?
Is that Harris Dickinson?
Yes. How did you know?
I figured it was the young British guy.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I shouldn't have said royal. I didn't think that that would be a hint. But isn't that interesting? Because he was like the most useless one on the island. And in real life, he would have been like the it guy. But they obviously couldn't do that, because then it would just be a white male leading everybody in. Nobody wants to see that these days.
We can't have that.
We just can't have that.
Or a white woman. Okay.
Moving on. Question number 8. Well, you got that right. Good job. You got one right. Okay, moving on. Question number 8. This was the last question that I had ready for you. And I thought it was super interesting. And it would have completely changed the whole movie if they did it. What was the original plot line for Abigail?
I have no idea. What is it?
Didn't even try. Come up with something. What would be another plot line you could think of?
She dies with the pirates.
Lame. Not very creative. Okay. Originally, Abigail's character was actually supposed to be a male mechanic. That would have changed the whole movie. The entire extremely strong and impactful symbolism of the movie was that Abigail was a female service worker. Because she was a female, too. Yeah. You know, like that. And a woman of color, too. That held so much significance in the movie. And I thought it was genius. And actually what had happened was the director had been talking to his class about doing the movie, and one of his students had suggested to make Abigail a woman and it would make it more interesting. And I'm like, yes.
Like,
yes, queen. You are so right.
Students?
Like, he had a student in a class. He was teaching a class.
Is he a professor?
I don't know. People teach classes when they're not professors. Like, people do master classes. I don't know what it was, but that's what I read on the interwebs. But I thought it was really interesting. Like, it would have completely changed the entire plot line of the movie.
Yeah. That's really cool, because it would have had a hell of a lot less meaning.
Yeah. Like, I thought it was something, like, that was shocking about it, is that she was almost abusing her power to get with the young hot guy, right? But if it had been a guy, it would have been like, oh, predictable, guys do that, you know? But since it was a woman, it was like, whoa, this is so interesting, you know? Like, yeah. It was so confusing, you know? Not like women won't do that, and not like women don't do that in the real world, but it's just expected and more seen as that men would do that, because that's, I don't know, I feel like that happens more in the world.
Probably. And, yeah. I would have liked the movie a lot less if they had made that character male.
Yeah, I think it would have honestly like made the movie a lot less impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, Jonathan. So that is the last of my trivia questions that I have prepared for you today. Is there anything else you want to talk about on the podcast?
So I've got a couple of movies in mind.
Oh, let's have a discussion about what we're going to watch next week. Okay, yeah. Tell me what's on your mind.
The Lighthouse, perhaps?
I have mixed feelings about this, because Jonathan has been trying to get me to watch The Lighthouse forever. It is a very well-known movie. He has a movie poster for it. He loves movie posters. And if he gets a movie poster for a movie, that's because it's a 5-star movie to him, I would assume.
Most of the time.
Is Lighthouse a 5-star for you?
No.
Oh my God. Okay, see, here's the thing though. The podcast is a great opportunity for Jonathan to force me to watch movies that I would never watch before. See, because I'll watch The Lighthouse because I can rant and rave. Is there anything like really disgusting in it?
There's a couple gross scenes, yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. What else was on the list?
Could watch Enemy.
I don't know that.
With Jake Gyllenhaal by Denis Villeneuve.
Okay, next. Jonathan has, he requires a lot of thinking time. I don't. I don't have the brain capacity to. It just has to come out or it'll, my brain will stop functioning. It'll overload.
Or Waves.
Waves, which was the same actress from Bones and All. Yeah, okay. Well, honestly, I don't know what Waves is or Enemy, so let's watch The Lighthouse. Let's do it. Okay, well, all right. Thanks, y'all, for joining in on the podcast today. We will talk to you later, and definitely check us out on all the things. And, yeah, maybe go watch Lighthouse so that you can debate it with me because I'm probably going to have a lot of things to say.
It's a masterpiece.
All right, bye.
Bye.